O God, our Father, I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost, I take. Thank God, He undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. Turn in your Bibles to the 4th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. And in that word that we read together, we have the wonderful statement of our Lord Jesus Christ in verse 19. And He saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. It was only last week that I noted in the New Testament the three records of the three calls of our Lord to Simon Peter. The call of Christ that he positively responded to brought the source of eternal blessing to not only Peter who responded, but those who responded down through his long and tested ministry for Christ. The making of the call by the Lord Jesus Christ was a miracle of grace. The heeding of that call was a miracle of grace. And those who heeded and hearkened to the call and went out calling others were also the instruments of that grace. We cannot tell what happens when God opens a heart washed in the blood, and that heart becomes a sounding board for the preaching and declaration of the truth and the gospel. The world, the people who stood around were amazed at Christ's choice. Why should he call a fisherman, an ignorant fisherman, a bold, wicked, sinful fisherman? Why should Christ choose this man and call him to his side? Our day is a very dark day. The storm clouds worldwide indicate that there is a judgment upon the world, and there is a judgment of all the nations of the world, and there is judgment upon the unbelieving churches in this world of ours. What is the response? What is God the Son's answer to this? His answer is, follow me. This is the action that Christ wants us to take. Immediately, he wants us to see his plan and to respond to his command. If you follow me, he says, I will make you, no matter what you've done, no matter how evil you have been, no matter what sins you have committed, I will make you a fisher of men. The first call of Christ was separation from the world to the Lord Himself. Follow me. Keep company with me. Don't let there be any distance between us. Join me in my work to save the world. The second call of Christ is a call to separation. Why has the church today so little power? Why is the world so powerful? And why is it that the church of Christ is so impotent? It is because the church of Christ is dominated and imprisoned and destroyed by the infiltration of the world into the church. The separation wall has been pulled down. And there is no line set up by Christ's church today separating themselves from the world and from the flesh and from the devil. Peter in the first call was separated by following Christ. In the second and urgent call, he was separated to Christ. Follow me, and I will make you. I will change you. I will save you. I will commission you. I will empower you. I will baptize you, Peter, with holy fire. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter was baptized with holy fire. And not only so, he saw 3,000 souls converted. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I am a great fan of C.H. Spurgeon. I read his sermons and his books. And I never have read a dull sermon from C.H. Spurgeon, nor have I not been quickened in my soul when I have read his works. He said this day in which we live is a very dark day. The heavens are lowering with heavy thunder clouds. Men little dream of what tempests are going to shake this very city in which we preach, and the whole social fabric of the land, even to a general breaking up of society. What prophetic words when we set them in their historical setting. So dark may the night become that the stars may seem to fall like blighted fruit from the tree. The times are evil. Now, if never before, every glow worm must show its spark. You with the tiniest farthing candle must take it from under the bushel and set it on a candlestick. There is need of you all. Lot was a poor creature. He was a very, very wretched kind of believer. But still, he might have been a great blessing to Sodom had he but pleaded to do as he was doing. And poor, poor Christians in these evil days have been given by God a place so that they can turn away the storm and bring to the age in which they live a mighty heaven-sent moving of the Holy Spirit. I pray that we may be importunate in our prayers, and we will so turn to God with all our heart and with all our souls and all our minds, that a fire may be kindled in the church of Jesus Christ. I address you therefore at this time, first of all upon this thought. Oh, that the Spirit of God may make each one of us feel our personal responsibility for what is happening. Here is for believers in Christ, in order to escape from death to life, must do something to reverse the trends. But these trends will only be changed when we follow Christ. For as we follow Christ, something will happen. We will become fishers of men. You will not grow into fishers of yourselves, but you will become a fisher when you follow Christ. And then lastly, here is a good illustration. And according to our great master's one, for scarcely without a parable did he speak unto the people. He presents us with an illustration of what Christian men should be. They should be fishers of men. We may get some useful hints as we pray over this text of Scripture. How true are they? Is this exhortation from that great preacher of the gospel? And in a London that was dark and accursed with sin, a great revival took place. Thousands and thousands were born again through the ministry of the man of God. God is not dead. The promises of God are as true today as they were in Spurgeon's day, as they were on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached his great sermon. Oh, may we rise up as men and women of God and not content ourselves with the present situation, but ask God to break the mold and to set our country free. Total surrender to Jesus Christ is the need of the hour in his church. We need to forsake this sinful world that has intruded into our homes, into our businesses, and into our churches. And yet, unless you are able to abide with Christ, and Christ is able to abide in you, you will be lost in the darkness of this age. We all need to seek to be filled with the blessed Spirit of God. We're not to be drunk as those that consume much liquor. We're to be filled with the Spirit of God. Could I ask you a personal question this morning. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Or is there a lacking in your life? Is there a creeping paralysis in your prayers and in your zeal to read the Bible and your desire to see God work with power amongst us? We need strength. The Lord can give us strength. There is no strength like the power of the Holy Ghost. God can give us wisdom. There is no wisdom like the wisdom of the Spirit of God. God can give us enduring and strong persistence to walk the way He wants us to walk, to talk the way He wants us to talk, and to win souls the way He wants us to win souls. Oh, that God would fall upon us this morning, brethren and sisters in Christ, and start a burning flame within our heart. Oh, that some young man today may be touched with the power of God. Oh, that some young woman today would be touched with the Holy Spirit. Oh, that the older Christians may return to their first love. Love for Christ. Love for prayer. Love for the Bible. Love for the dying souls of man. The weakest Christian can become the strongest believer when he's filled with the Spirit of God. May God fill us with His Spirit today. Our eyes need to be wet with tears for lost souls. We need to close the door of our prayer room and shut the world out and shut everything out and meet with God. And he that seeth in secret shall reward us openly. There is a wrestling job to be done. We are not going to see man and woman in our streets escaping from hell fire except we weep o'er the erring one. We lift up the fallen and tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Christ has loved these souls. You don't love them enough to pray for them. Christ died to save them. Would you give your life to bring one of them to the Savior's side? A lost eternity is speeding towards them all. Someday the place that knows us will know us forever, no more. The opportunity will have died, never to come back again. The hour of witness will end, and we will have finished our career here below. But Christ has said, if you follow me, I'll make you the fisher of men. You'll not make yourself, neither by reading or by study or by the strength of arm or mind will it be done, but it will be done when I take you and cleanse you and raises you up to be what I want you to be. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Oh, that some person here today may get this mighty baptism of the power of God. If every child of God was filled with the Holy Spirit, what a fire would be started and kindled. We live amongst swarms of unsaved souls. We rub shoulders every day with men and women and children who are actually racing to hell. You live among thousands who know not the gospel. You ask me, what can save our city? Our text, let me repeat it, gives us the answer. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow Christ to the cross. Behold a man of sorrows that wept over the world and then shed the last drop of his blood for its salvation. All around us are lost sinners. You might well cry out in bitterness of soul, who will save Belfast? North, south, east, and west. The boils of the poison of this world breaks out on the face of our population. In our morning radios, we hear the sad story of a night of sin in this city. Murders, thieving, robbings, and all evil. But remember, there was a man called Gideon, and there was a great army of Midianites marshaled and ready to wipe them out and destroy them. Gideon had quite an army, a few thousand, but they were nothing when measured up with the multitudes of Midianites. And God looked down on that army and he said an interesting thing. It says, you know, in the Bible, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them derision. And he said, Gideon! Yes, Lord! Gideon, you have too many in your army. What? Too many? I have only a few thousands, and they have thousands upon thousands and thousands. What are you talking about, God? I'm just telling you the truth, and you don't like it, Gideon. But I'm going to show you something. And he got Gideon to listen to a dream that one of the large army members had that very night as he was talking to Gideon. And it was about a little barley loaf, just a little bit of potato bread. Yes. And it rolled into the camp of thousands and tens of thousands and scores of thousands. And what happened? The tent went down. And the men rose from their beds tied up in tent ropes and cried and shouted in vain. The whole of the Midian army was struck by the simple barley loaf. God is a God of miracles. And before long, the Lord weeded out the bad wood. And you know how many was left? Just 300. And he said, with these 300 men, I'll give you the greatest victory in history. And so they did. Don't be drunk with wine, we're in this excess. Be filled with the Spirit of God. What we need, what this preacher needs, what every member of this church needs, is a baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Let it come, O Lord, we pray thee. Let the showers of blessing fall. We are waiting. expecting, oh, revive the hearts of all. Remember Gideon. And remember the many men in the book. One man is a majority with God. The tiniest minority brings greater glory to God. It's God that did it. Let no man take the glory. Let God have all the glory, for the Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. The weakest are strong enough to scatter all our enemies. This church has enough people within it to shake East Belfast from end to end. Oh, if we would only be up and doing, white it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. Do you remember Samson and the Philistines with their swords and their armaments? And you know what Samson had? He had the jawbone of a donkey. And here he's standing with the jawbone of a donkey. I really laughed at this in my study this week. My, if I went out and stood with a jawbone of an ass, they would say Paisley is an ass himself. But the asses were all found out, the donkeys were all slaughtered, and the mighty man of God prevailed. Samson, when he walked to the city with its gates, and he tore them down and put them on their shoulders and carried them to the top of a high mountain and says, get them, get them. I can see those men of Gath climbing up the hill and saying, we're a pack of fools. Samson destroyed our city. There is power in the blood of Christ to save the worst sinner in Belfast. There is power to stir this city that has been blessed with great preachers and with great movements of the Spirit. There is power that the church will recover its flame and light the fires of revival in our souls. The fisherman has many characteristics. But there's one thing they have. They never see the fish they're going to catch. The net sees them, but they don't see them. They're up there in the boat, and the nets are out. And they've been drawn home. And then something happens. From the depths of the sea, there's a making of waves. And the churning of the waters. The fish that are caught are struggling to get away from the net. My friend, God does not show his mysteries. God hides them down in the depths of the sea and in the net of his omnipotence. But when the landing comes, then we see what God has done. And you remember when the landing came, they had so many fishes, they couldn't get them all ashore. Jesus Christ lives today in the power of an endless life. And he's calling us as a people to have done with the lesser things of time and sense. To reach out with the eye of faith and the hand of trust to the God who has saved us and delivered us, that we might see again a movement of the Spirit of God. We need another 59 revival. We need another baptism of Pentecost. We need holy fire to start flaming up within our hearts. You have a neighbor next door to you, and that neighbor is unsaved. Have Have you been faithful to their soul? Start today and make it your mind. You're going to see your neighbors saved by the grace of God. How will it happen? Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And if Christ gets into that house before you, and you follow him, you'll see the change of grace already started. Oh, may God stir us up to look for souls everywhere and to gain them for the Lord. I could go on today preaching to next Sunday on this subject, but I leave it with you. And when you go home today, read that fourth chapter and say to God today, make me a channel of blessing today. My life possessing, my service blessing, make me a useful soul winner among the people of God. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer together. Father, we thank thee for this day and for the presence of the risen Christ amongst us. O God, I confess my lack of love for thee. I confess that I am not as diligent as I should be, and as earnest as I should be, and as faithful as I should be. But thou hast said, follow me. Follow me, follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. O Lord, help us to follow thee. Help us to follow thee to the garden and to sweat for souls. Help us to follow thee to the cross and take all the darkness of Calvary to put away our evil deadness and to call us to a life of dedication to thyself. I would live and die for thee. And may this church have a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. May this preacher have a baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. And may this road be converted to yourself for Jesus' sake. And everybody said, amen. That's a miserable amen. Everybody said, amen. And shout it, hallelujah. Well, go and practice what you've heard. And I'll do a bit of practicing with you. Amen and amen.